So Exodus chapter 27, and we're going to start with verse 20. It says this, "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. In the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. And it shall be a statute to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel." So what is this talking about? This is talking about the lampstand which is in the tabernacle. As many of you know, there is in the days of Moses, God commanded Israel to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle was portable, and they would disassemble it all, and then they would reassemble it all, and it had all kinds of things in it. When you first walked into the tabernacle, you would see an altar for sacrifice. As you looked past the altar, there was a bronze laver right there in the middle. This is in the outer court. There were three sections to the tabernacle: the outer court, the inner court, in the most holy place, or some say the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, all the same thing. So there was this altar for burnt offerings. There was this laver. There was this washing bin, and then behind a curtain, the first curtain, the holy place, there was a lampstand. As you look to the left. On the right, there was a table of showbread, they called it. And then in the middle, there was an altar of incense. And then behind all that, or behind a very thick curtain, there was the most holy place, where the mercy seat abided. But inside that holy place, there is this lampstand. And on the lampstand was actually a big thing. A lot of people know it nowadays as a menorah. You've seen that, and usually they're little things, and they're something you could hold in your hand, and they have the seven little candles places on them. And we know it as this menorah, but actually it was a much bigger thing. In Exodus 25, you could read about it. It actually was made of one solid talent of gold. A talent is around 75 pounds, so this thing was not this little cute thing that could be, you know, carried around in one hand. It was this big, huge lampstand. And in it, there was pure oil. And that oil was made for burning. And in that place, behind the veil, that lampstand is supposed to be burning continually, all the time. It's not supposed to go out. Now, if we think about what the New Testament says to us, we are the temple of God. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? We sing that song when we were kids, right? Know ye not? Know ye not? You are the temple. Enough of my singing. So we know that we're the temple of God. We're supposed to be on fire all the time. We're supposed to be burning for God all the time. That oil in that lamp represents to us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in our life is supposed to be on fire in us all the time. Even as you walked into the temple, the first thing you would see is that altar of sacrifice. And on that altar of sacrifice, it says in Leviticus, a fire shall be on the altar always. It shall never go out. There is supposed to be fire in the temple. Always. Never is it supposed to go out. There is supposed to be fire in more than one place. There is supposed to be fire on that altar of sacrifice. There is supposed to be fire in that inner place as well. And it is the priest's job to never allow those things to go out. Think about how this applies. It's we are the temple of God. We're supposed to be on fire for God all the time. We are never supposed to let that fire go out. As you go into the temple, that's the first thing you see. You can't help but notice this, because as you enter the gates, that's right in front of your face. A burning sacrifice, always, day or night, never supposed to go out. So use the Word of God and examine your own life today. And ask yourself, does everybody see that I'm on fire for God? I'm the priest. The Bible tells us in Revelation, you are priests and kings to our God. You're the priest, and it is your job to be on fire for God at all times. The temple is you. You are the temple of God. Are you on fire that everybody can see? Everybody should be able to see that there is a burning in you for God, a burning sacrifice. We are to present our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. That's a reasonable service. It's not an extraordinary service. It's not out of the ordinary. It should be normal. It is the reasonable thing to do. It's not an unreasonable thing. It's not something that takes us out of the way. It's not an inconvenience. It's just reasonable. It's not even extraordinary. It's just reasonable. And so we lay the sacrifice on our life, because we should be on fire for God all the time. This is God's command to the children of Israel. This is the pattern of the temple. And now we are the temple. So we understand what we are supposed to be like by examining the pattern of the temple and knowing that we are that temple. Nowadays, you realize the Bible says in Revelation that I would that you were hot or cold. There's only one right temperature. He says, I don't want you lukewarm, and I'd rather have you hot or cold. He doesn't want you cold. He only wants one temperature, hot. That's it. There's no two temperatures. There's no in between. There's no lukewarm. It's only hot. The lukewarm, wow, they get spit out of his mouth. They get vomited out of his mouth. Hot is the only thing that's good to our God. Hot is the only thing. What does that mean? You have to examine that for your own life. Are you on fire for God? Are you on fire for God? It's the only temperature that's right in God's eyes. Are you on fire for Him? Now, if I think about this, if I think about this lampstand, I think, well, if God wanted fire, why did He just make it Himself? He knows how to do that. Certainly, supernaturally, He could just do it. If He wanted the candlestick, if He wanted this lampstand to be burning all the time, well, just do it Himself. He made the stars bigger than the earth. All of them, there's a trillion or more of them, a trillion, trillion of them. Who knows how many? No one could count. They're all burning masses, most of them bigger than the earth, burning continuously for thousands and thousands of years. If He wanted to start a fire that could last forever and burn continually, well, I think He could probably do it. He could probably make a candlestick, a lampstand that's just going to burn forever. But He didn't do it. He didn't do that. That's not how He wanted to do it. We see the burning bush. The burning bush didn't need any refueling. It just burned and burned, and it was never consumed. God, if He wanted to have a lampstand that burns continually, He could have just said, Moses, here it is. Here's part of the burning bush. Just keep it, bring it into the tabernacle, and you'll be set. But this was not the point of the lampstand. The point of the lampstand was to have the priests tend to it. The point of the lampstand was to have fire, but to have fire that the priests were required to tend, to make sure that they had to keep that fire going. Now, as an engineer, I think to myself, well, if this is a requirement, and God gives me this requirement, okay, make sure the lampstand is burning continuously. Okay. This sounds like a customer requirement to me. You know, when we take the customer requirements and we say, okay, what do we have to do to make sure that this happens? This is the engineering mindset goes right into play. Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to build, we'll build the lampstand exactly the way he wants it, and then we're going to connect a big drum of oil. We're going to get a big 50-gallon drum of oil, and we're going to fill that thing, and we're going to connect a wick, and it's going to burn for weeks. We're not even going to have to worry about it. We'll go on vacation. We'll go away, and when it comes back, it'll still be burning. That would certainly be a better design if the job was to have the candle burning constantly. You know, hook that thing up to a big truck of oil. Boy, you could leave it go for a year. But God didn't say that. He said, I want the priest to tend it. Tend it from evening until morning before the Lord, and it shall be that way continually. And in that direction, we have direction for our lives. We have to tend the precious fire of God in our lives all the time. We can't neglect it. We can't let it go. Even a day, if the priests let it go for even more than a day, maybe it would go out. Have you ever had a fireplace? Our first home actually had a wood-burning fireplace. Oh, we were so happy to have a wood-burning. Oh, this is a great thing. We're newlyweds. We don't know nothing. Oh, it's a great thing. Whenever we would entertain, I'd light that fireplace, and sometimes it'd be too hot, and sometimes it would go down. And the thing that I realized right away is you need attending all the time. You know, there's a house full of people, and I'm in the garage, you know, with an axe chopping wood. I have to go outside in the snow and in the cold and chopping wood, and they never stand up flat, and they always, and it was a chore to keep that fire going. And even when you had enough wood, you have to move it around, and you have to poke it and blow on it and all this stuff, and it was just a constant thing. So our second house, we don't have a wood burning fireplace anymore. We have a gas fireplace. It's a beautiful thing. I don't have to go out in the ground. I don't have to tend to it, because fire needs tending. If I left it for more than an hour and a half, it would be this what was a beautiful flame would now go down to nothing. Because that's the nature of fire. If it doesn't have fuel, it's not going to burn anymore. And that's the same thing that happens in our lives with the Holy Spirit in our lives, with God's presence in our lives, as this lampstand represents. If you don't tend to it, if you don't give fuel for that fire, it's going to go down. And it goes down, it seems like, in a day. You can't let it go for more than a day. The priests had to tend it morning and evening, evening and morning. The thing had to be going all the time. The altar had to have a sacrifice on it all the time, because the fire was never supposed to go out. This is our instruction. We have to be tending the fire of God in our lives all the time, every day. Morning and evening, as much as it takes. I think God gave the instruction even as to how big the lampstand would be, so that way for sure they had to tend it, that if they left it for more than a few hours, it was going to be gone. The fire was going to be out. He knew that with the size of it, that this had to have attention all the time. So it is with the fire of God in our lives. We need to tend it all the time. The precious fire of God, the precious Holy Spirit in our lives needs constant attention, constant refueling, so that it keeps on going. And fire is something that we could experience with our senses. Fire is something that we could see with our eyes. Fire is something that we could feel when we get close to it. Fire is something that represents an experience in our lives. We should be a people that experiences God, not just truth, but in spirit as well. We should be a people that experience God regularly. We have a relationship with this God. We should experience this God all the time. All the time. Because fire is not something that you can hide somewhere. It is something that we experience. We sense it. We know it. And this, too, is a representation of how God's presence, God's Spirit should be in our lives. We should be able to experience it. God wants us to experience it. The greatest moments in life, I find, are when I experience God in a very real way, a very precious way. He is so limitless that yesterday's manna is not good for today. We need to experience it every single day, if possible. I know that's not an easy thing, because it takes time. It takes time to tend the fire. It takes time to make sure that it burns and it keeps burning. And it takes time to gather the fuel. God wants us to have experiences all the time with Him. God doesn't want wildfire. I'll say it again. God doesn't want wildfire. Because a lot of times we've experienced people that might be on fire for God, but they've let it go wild, and it's now consuming everything. God didn't say that the priest should burn down the tabernacle. He said it should be contained in the lampstand. It should be on the altar. But many times we see people that are just out of control. And I would say that looks more like wildfire than a fire that's contained in the altar, that's under control of the priest. It's not out of control. And many times, because we've seen the wildfire, we back away from the fire entirely. I've heard it said that if certain animals get burned, let's say by a stove or a hot stove, that they won't even go anywhere near it, even if it's cold. Even if it's cold, even if there's no fire in it, they say, well, we were burned there once, so we better stay as far away from it as possible. We've learned our lesson. This is not what we want to be like. Even though we might have seen the wildfire, even though we might have seen people that are out of control, or seen it on TV, or heard about it from other people, we want to still desire the fire of God and to keep it the way God wants it to be in our lives. We don't want wildfire, but we want the precious fire of God burning in our lives. Burning in our lives. So how do we do that? Hebrews 12:29 says that our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. If you want to be on fire with God, you have to get near the fire. You have to be lit on fire, and fire begets fire. Get near, draw near to the consuming fire, and then you too will be on fire. You will catch fire by drawing near to the consuming fire. I would also say that get close to others that are on fire for God. Get close to people that are on fire for God, because when you're around people that are on fire for God, they seem to be infectious. They seem to have a way of thinking about things that's different. And then over time, you start to think that same way. I remember after God was turning my life around, we had friends that were definitely more on fire than me. And when we were around them, they would talk different. And they would think different. It wouldn't be negative all the time. It would be positive. It would be faith-filled talk, and talk that was centered around God. It wasn't centered around the problems. It was something that was more on fire than me. I remember being around people and they were just talking about God, and even strangers, they would come in contact with strangers, and all of a sudden they would interrupt whatever they were doing just to talk to strangers about God. And I would think, is that normal? And then I would see that they would do it. It wasn't just a one-time thing. They would do it all the time. And I was like, this is normal for them. It wasn't normal for me. And by being around others that were on fire, I seen, okay, there's something different here. There is a fire there, and that could be. And then all of a sudden, we would start to do the same things because that began to be normal. The fire of God was beginning to burn more brightly in life, and we would see a different aspect of things, and our minds were beginning to shift because we were around people that the fire of God was contagious. We were rubbing shoulders with people where the fire of God was contagious. And think about the lampstand. There's a limited amount of space in that lampstand for fuel. And you get to choose what you fill that lampstand with. You could stuff it with a lot of things. If you're not, whatever you're doing in your life is essentially fueling your lampstand. The lampstand in your tabernacle. And if you're fueling it with a lot of other things, you're pushing out the precious oil that lights the fire, that fuels the fire. If you have all kinds of other things that are going on and competing, your life is just has a limited capacity for fuel, and you get to decide what fuels your lampstand. If there's all kinds of things that you're into and you're involved in, and your mind is going on all these things, this is what fills your lampstand. You get to decide. You get to decide what fuel you put in your lampstand as the temple of God. Is you. You get to decide. The one thing though that God wants, and the one thing that He expects, is He expects fire. He expects fire. He says, in the temple, there will be fire. I want fire in my temple. I want it on the altar. I want it in the candlestick. I want fire in my temple. And the other thing is, He says, I want my priests to make sure that it's there. I want my priests to do whatever it takes to make sure that there's fire in the temple. I want to make sure, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, I want them to make sure it is their responsibility that there's fire. It's not His responsibility. He can handle it if He wants, but He doesn't. He's given that job to us. He wants fire in His temple. He expects fire in His temple. And He expects us as priests to make sure that we do whatever it takes to make sure that there is always fire in His temple. May God give us the grace to be able to do this. The knowledge and the time and the discipline to be able to keep the fire going in our lives at all times. His name be praised.